WrestlingGuide.com.
Once again, whether you like it or not, this is Wrestling Guide Radio here on WrestlingGuide.com. As always, I am your host. I am Dirt from the video game Losers at VGLosers.com. And today we're here to talk about SmackDown. Now, with SmackDown last week being something that I really enjoyed, and with Raw being a pretty bad show with some good moments here and there, the question is, where does this SmackDown end up on the scale? Does it end up kind of pointless like an episode of Superstars? Does it have a nugget of good amongst a whole bunch of bland like ECW? Or is it going to be horribly wretched again like Raw? Well, for starters, they kind of learned their lesson after Raw. They did all their stuff against the Nuggets on Raw, and nobody really cared. So luckily, they didn't really do a whole lot of that on SmackDown. You didn't have these really bad basketball skits. You didn't have Jack Nicholson impersonators that looked nothing like Jack Nicholson, and you know, so on and so forth. So it's pretty nice, pretty good little show. It's not a great show. Again, I really liked last week's show. Some people had problems with it, but I thought it was a really good show, especially a great main event. The main event on tonight's show is not as strong, but it's still pretty. It's got some pretty cool moments. So let's just get on with the recap, and let's just say that, again, if you have the opportunity to watch SmackDown, I think you should watch it. But if it's one of those things where, you know, you're not going to be home, it's going to be a pain in the ass, whatever like that, just don't worry about it, you know. I mean, you could miss it, but there's some neat stuff in here tonight, and I think you want to check it out. All right, first of all, Mysterio opened the show coming out to the ring with his championship belt. Tonight it will be the team of Edge and Jericho taking on Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio. Team Ego, Edge and Jericho. Rey switches back and forth. He talks a line in Spanish, talks a line in English, talks a line in Spanish. So he goes back and forth for a while. This is in Southern California where he's from. You know, well, technically he's from Mexico, but, you know. Southern California, the heavy Latino influence and everything like that. So this is the area. I believe this is where he lives now. Regardless, gets a lot of that hometown heat going on. Everything he says gets, you know, the crowd is into it. They're hot for it. So it's a good way to really work up the heat on the crowd. Again, we talked last week about they really push Rey Mysterio and push Melina to kind of get back to that Hispanic, Latino demographic that from a ratings point of view has been missing from SmackDown ever since Rey left. And so again, they're kind of pushing that and they're really playing to that crowd here. And I'm fine with that, you know, whatever. I know habla española, but, you know, if that's what they're going to do, that's cool. I'm down with it. All right, so basically, you know, Rey is talking about how Jericho is just an idiot, and he's going to shut Jericho up once and for all. So Jericho, of course, has to come down to the ring, and he basically says that, you know, there's nothing that Rey can do to stop Jericho. Jericho is going to win this title. And Rey basically says that it doesn't matter what Jericho says. He didn't win at Judgment Day. He didn't win at WrestleMania. So it really doesn't matter what Jericho says because his word means nothing. And so Jericho talks about Mickey Rourke a little bit and talks about Rey a little bit and then basically gets into Rey Mysterio's mask. They're really pushing this mask angle. Basically saying criminals and cowards, they hide behind their masks, but, you know, real people, real men don't hide behind masks. He takes a shot at Rey, but Rey ducks, gets a drop toe hold, goes for the 619, but Jericho powders out before he can hit the move. So, good little opening segment. It was a good way to work on heat, especially building up that crowd. You know, even if you're sitting at home and you're not that into it, hearing the crowd explode for everything kind of pulls you in a little bit more. You know, there are times you're watching something and the guys are talking and the crowd is completely dead. And you think, oh, this is pretty good, but, you know, no one's reacting to it, so it must not be that great. On the other hand, you're watching something, you're just kind of like, eh, whatever, but the crowd is going nuts for it. It really does draw you in. So it was good here, good opener, good way to start the show. Next match is R-Truth and the Great Khali versus Mike Knox and Dolph Ziggler. This is another fine SmackDown moment that you'll want to check out because the Great Khali raps. Yes, word. I'm just going to leave it at that. There's nothing really I can say to add to that. If the Great Khali rapping will bring you as much joy as it brings me, then you'll want to check this out. If the very thought of this is making your nose bleed, then you should probably just, you know, skip the show altogether. Regardless, it's a good little match. Great Khali basically trying to get his hands on Dolph Ziggler. Knox gets beat up for most of the match, takes the heat. Khali basically controls on Knox for a long time, and Ziggler walks out, and so Khali gets the pin on Mike Knox. And then they do a little dancing. Great Khali dancing with R-Truth after the match. Again, if this puts a smile on your face, you want to check out this show. All right. Next match is Melina versus Alicia Fox, Michelle McCool at ringside. This was not a complete train wreck like a lot of women's matches are, but it is by no means good. If you go to an indie show, I would probably put this on par with a mid-card indie show match. Not great, but not terrible. It was sound, but you could tell that Alicia Fox still needs a lot of work. Her timing just seems off. Doesn't seem very natural in what she's doing, and the match was just kind of awkward. But Melina gets the pinfall, and then Michelle McCool basically grabs Melina's championship belt, kind of looks at it, shoves it at Melina, and walks out. And there's, I guess, supposed to be this feeling of, you know, she's getting all up in her face. But, you know, it's Michelle McCool. I really can't care. Josh Matthews is backstage talking to John Morrison about his match with Umaga. Basically, I don't know, kind of a bad promo, really. I felt it. It was kind of all over the place. And I don't know what Morrison's gimmick is supposed to be anymore. They're not really, since he turned face, they obviously have to change him a little bit. He can't be as cocky. And so it's like they're making him, I don't know, poetic, making him more of, you know, he was always supposed to be a takeoff of Jim Morrison from The Doors. So I don't know if they're trying to play off his, you know, dark poet popularity thing, but whatever. I have to admit, I'm not feeling it. Regardless, though, he's doing his little promo spot, and Shelton Benjamin basically walks in from off stage and says that, you know, they have some unfinished business that they'll get to later. Jeff Hardy talks about his ladder match. He's got a recorded video here. They talk about Hardy's history of ladder matches, a bunch of clips from a bunch of ladder matches, some of the big bumps he's taken. So they're really kind of pushing that for the pay-per-view, wanting you to think that there's going to be, of course, some big crazy bumps at the pay-per-view. I would assume at some point they will do another Edge spearing Jeff. Or better would be Edge going to spear Jeff hanging from the you know, from the harness and like lifting his legs so that Edge misses and just drops, and then he gets the belt, something along those lines. But anyway, they were pushing that pretty good. As Jeff was walking up the ramp, Umaga walked down with his strap, his Samoan strap. They said that a Samoan strap match is one when you touch all four turnbuckles in succession while strapped together, which amazingly sounds pretty much like any other strap match, you know, bull rope match, you know, any of those type things. So expect some people getting slapped with it, expect some chokes with it, and expect it to, you know, The finishes on those are always so anticlimactic to me, because it just takes so long. You can't really get excited till they're going for the fourth one, but if they do too much in between three and four, then it doesn't count, So it's just kind of like, eh. Anyway, Umaga versus John Morrison. Umaga's face paint looks different tonight. I don't know if they got new puffy paint markers or what the deal is, but this is supposedly Morrison's hometown. Just like it was Ray's, but he gets nowhere near as much heat as Ray does because his face turn was way too quick. But what are you going to do? They basically just had a nice little match. It was fine for the most part. It worked. It was on its way to being a solid little a little match, but Umaga then decided he was going to pull out the strap and just start attacking Morrison with it, so of course it goes for a DQ and a no finish, which just kind of sucks because the two of them wrestling each other actually worked out pretty well here. But he was attacking Morrison, had him tied up, was beating him with the strap, and CM Punk runs down, uses the briefcase on Umaga to lay him out, does a bulldog on it. Umaga powders and leaves, and so Punk is left in the ring. Todd Grisham enters, basically climbs up and goes to talk to Punk. And Punk says he's really just gonna beat the crap out of him. He really doesn't have any plan of attack. He's just gonna go out there and do his thing. And they also kind of tease the briefcase a little bit, but I don't think they're cashing it in at this show. Next, they had Crime Time versus the World's Greatest Tag Team. Crime Time distracted the World's Greatest Tag Team on WGN Superstars. So if you miss Superstars, this actually does kind of play into what they're doing there. So it's nice to see them, building angles using that show actually as a continuation. It's not just throwaway matches. Still, the show is pretty bland. It's kind of hard to make the matches mean anything, but at the same time, you get a lot of wrestling action in an hour watching Superstars. So again, I still am going to endorse Superstars at this point in time because it's nice to just sit back for an hour and watch some matches, World's Greatest Tag Team gets the pinfall on Shad. It was a fair match. There was nothing too incredibly special about it. Again, Crime Time, JTG is good. Shad is not. I think they worked Shad too much in this match for my taste, but it was nothing really special. But it was fine for what it was. Eva Torres versus Layla was next. This was terrible. I love Layla. I mean, I'll just say it. Layla is hot. Watching her wrestle is bad. It really just was kind of sad watching this match. And it was so bad because especially the other match, like I said, it wasn't terrible, but you could tell that Alicia Fox is not smooth and natural. So it just kind of felt off and it felt wrong. This match felt bad. Eve and Layla they need a lot of work. This match just seemed to go on too long and was just, this was your dark match in an indie show. If you've recorded this on SmackDown, then just fast forward through it. You won't miss a single thing. If you're watching it live, then this is the point where you can go get your snacks, make your popcorn, get ready for your main event. Because your main event is going to be Edge and Chris Jericho versus Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy. Edge comes down, takes the mic, says that basically Hardy is a bunch of wasted opportunities, which is basically the same thing that Triple H was saying about Hardy before they took Triple H off TV. He said Jeff could really do any match he wanted, and it doesn't matter. Jeff picks, of course, the ladder match, and Edge claims that he is so good at ladder matches. Ladder matches, if you remember your WWE history, they were really put on the map by the Dudleys, Edge, Christian, and the Hardys. Those three teams just basically did ladder matches to death. In fact, one of the best ladder matches actually had Jericho and Chris Benoit as a tag team. But you won't find that mentioned anywhere on WWE's website because they still have the Benoit blackout going on. Regardless, Jericho's music hits, and nothing. There's no nothing. He doesn't come out. Ray walks down to the ring when his music, and he does the thing, you know, he always comes out, talks to the kids, you know, does a little forehead bump, says something to him, I don't know, in Spanish, whatever. Every kid that has one of his, you know, masks or t-shirts at ringside, whatever, does that little thing too. And, you know, he's going to this kid, he goes to this kid, he goes to this kid, he goes to this last kid, and this last kid grabs him and slams his head to the guardrail. And it was awesome. I'm just watching this thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this 8-year-old just laid out Ray. But then he took off the mask, and it was Jericho. He was hiding in the crowd, had the mask and the shirt on. I think, you know, you had security more or less kind of hiding around him, kind of holding him back. But a lot of people standing there really had no idea who he was. They just thought he was some grown-up dude wearing the mask. So it was awesome. It was one of those moments where you watched it and you were just like, oh, that is so, that was great. That was great. And I just ruined it for you. So you're welcome. This is what you get for listening to a spoiler show. What can I say? So Jericho jumps out and just beats Ray. Hardy runs down to make the save. And when we come back from the commercial, Hardy basically says that he will take it as a handicap match. It will be Edge and Jericho versus Hardy. Let's see. Basically, it was kind of quick. excuse me. It didn't have as much time as I felt it really needed. But it was all right for what it was. They did a bunch of big bumps. Whisper in the Wind from Hardy. Basically messes up the Twist of Fate on Jericho. Edge spears him, and then it's pinfall. So it wasn't bad, but it was just over a little too quick. I wish I had some more time. But then you find out why it went so quick, and that's because after the match, Edge pulls out a ladder. He slams into Jeff Hardy's face, basically opens it up, throws Hardy in, does the little crocodile mouth sandwich thing on it, slams him down, and then he just kind of poses over Jeff Hardy all twisted up inside the ladder. So if you want to see Kali rap, you want to see Kali do his little dance, you want to see Jericho's awesome little segment, you want to see Ray just get a bunch of heat, you know, it's a pretty good show. Not as great as last week, you know, but by no means is this the best SmackDown of all time or anything like that, but it's got some nice little moments in it that make you kind of happy that you watched it. But again, don't go out of your way, kill yourself to watch it. It's nowhere near like the main event of last week that you had to watch. So, good little show. And that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I hope you guys are enjoying the SmackDown recaps. We'll be back on Tuesday to take a look at Monday Night Raw. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to cover the pay-per-view with Raw. I don't think we're going to do a separate show or anything like that. So, we'll see you guys Tuesday, and talk to you next time.